I'm Curtis Baker. I'm the director of AMETS. Got Jeff Gardner, Heather Reidel, and Dave Pillay with us from the staff. Got a fairly short agenda today. And obviously, we always open it up to open discussion afterwards. But we have a couple items to discuss. And with that, I'm just going to hand it over to Heather and let you jump right into it.
You want me to talk about the year-end completion already?
The year-end completion report.
Okay, so essentially we do a work program every year that guides the work that the AMETS staff does. At the end of our year, which I'm talking about our fiscal year, our fiscal year runs from July 1st to June 30th. So at the end of our fiscal year, ODOT asks us to put together a year-end completion report. So we put it together and we compare what we actually accomplished to what we said we would do. So essentially, and if you've got your mail out, it's attachment 6C. Essentially, the planning work that was necessary, we completed it by the end of the year. We stayed within budget. And that's essentially it. I mean, I did not, let's see, what else can I tell you? Oh, I can tell you some of the things that we worked on. We worked on the fiscal year 2021-24 TIP, as you all are aware of. We had plenty of amendments throughout the year. We created a new annual congestion report that aids in the development of the congestion management process. We participated in the CMAC discretionary funds program that's statewide. We monitored different projects that had federal funds sub-allocated. We maintained the current regional transportation plan. Dave completed the traffic crash and safety performance measures report, which is always a good one. Let's see. The annual report was completed. We promoted commuter alternatives with bike and ped advocacy. We managed to go Ohio commute. We continued the pavement condition data collection and analysis program. Another big one that happened this year was that we updated the ITS architecture. And then we continued the implementation of performance measures. That's a Jeff thing. Jeff makes sure that we're following all of those things. So in addition to all of that, we still had about $456,000 that we are rolling over to fiscal year 2023, which is now, and we have to make sure we spend that by December 31st. So I think that's pretty much it. That's kind of a general overview, but if you have any questions, let me know.
Mr. Durst, go ahead.
I was just wondering, there are a couple project amendments that were also part of this meeting. Is that where the $456,000 is going?
No, so the annual meeting usually, or annual meeting, the year-end completion report looks at our, it's more about the funds that we use for staff and planning products. So the amendments that we're going to be discussing, that's from our programmatic funding, whereas the funding that the annual report covers is what covers like staff salaries and hiring consultants and things like that. So they're more the reports that we write, the money that funds the reports that we write and the work that we do versus the construction projects. That's from a whole different set of money that Dave will talk about in a sec.
So everyone gets a year-end bonus?
No. So what happens is the money gets carried over through the end of the year. And then we usually spend it down. As Heather mentioned, we're going out for a new contract to hire a consultant that does pavement condition indexing. So they drive the roads and video all the roadways and do all the, and then rate them for us. And so we use the carryover that we have for like big ticket kind of high consultant cost items that we use for data collection.
I was just wondering, because it says it has to be used by December 2022. So that's like a 3-month time period, or did I read that wrong?
It's actually a 6-month time period, because the year end actually ends, the year ends July 1st. So since July 1, it's July 1 through the end of December. So we have 6 months to use the funds.
Okay.
But you know, Curtis was talking about the pavement condition data collection that we're working to hire someone for that. And I don't know, have we mentioned to this group that we've got planning grants available again this fall, that the applications are due by the end of the month? We talked about that at all.
We have not, but that's, well, then you completed two planning grants in 2022 as well, so.
Well, yes, I guess if we're talking about year-end completion, we did complete with the city of Stowe and also with Carta and Franklin Township. We completed two planning grants there. And then coming up at the end of this month, we're hoping to review a whole bunch of applications to see who will receive our next round of planning grant funds. So hopefully some good projects are coming up.
Yeah, if there are any questions, I know Dave has a little presentation to discuss some of the amendments that are gonna be asked for approval by next week by the policy committee. So Dave, can I hand it over to you? I will say you're on mute as well.
Sorry about that. Okay, thanks. Yeah, actually we have an amendment and a little history behind this amendment is we had an old project sitting in the TIP. It's actually been in a couple different TIPs now. It goes all the way back to the Goodyear development when Goodyear was building a new corporate office, and the city and the private developers had a network of streets laid out that they wanted to build around the new corporate headquarters. And one of the streets, Cyberling Way, there did not get built. And there's actually a Cyberling Cyberling Street there now. And what they wanted to do was, I think, reconstruct, move it to the east a little bit and reconstruct it. And I think once all the other stuff was built, it was determined it really wasn't needed. So what happened was that freed up like $4.1 million. And can you guys see my screen? I need to share my screen, I guess. Let's see. There we go. Can you guys see my screen now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm just going to quickly go over the, let me get this started for you.
Screen looks very clear. It's very legible.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to get it. I wanted to get it so that I got rid of the borders. There it is. Okay. Okay. So what, as a result of this big project being canceled, it freed up about $4.1 million. And what that allowed us to do is add 9 new resurfacing projects to our program. And we're also adding a freeway project and a trail project. Those are separate. Those have separate reasons for being added. The 9 resurfacing projects, though, are a result of this one large project being canceled and freeing up some extra money. So the 9 resurfacing projects, these were developed and just kind of sitting out in fiscal year 26 and 27, and we moved them up to fiscal year 24. The 9 resurfacing projects, the first one is Frost Road Phase 2 in Streetsboro, South Prospect Street in Ravenna, Cleveland Maslin Road in Norton, Highland Road in Twinsburg, South Main Street in Green, Miller Road on the Akron-Fairlawn border, Norton Avenue in Barberton, Valley View Road in Hudson, and Valley View Road in Macedonia. Now the next two project, the next project is an ODOT project. This is a project being added. So right away can begin in fiscal year 23. And this is the part of 76, which is referred to as the Kenmore leg, which is section of 76 between, I guess, 77 on the north side and 277 on the south side. This is being added to the TIP to be recognized by the FHA so that they can start using federal funds for right-of-way operations. And then the next one is the Heartland Trail Phase 4A. This is a trail in Chippewa Township in Wayne County. This is actually a rails to trails project. This particular piece is the next phase in a series of phases for the Heartland Trail. And we need to add this so engineering and design can begin in fiscal year 23. And then we have a couple other projects where we have projects in the same area, and we want to combine them into one project for economies of scale and for project management purposes. In Ravenna, we're combining North Chestnut Street and South Prospect Street. And then in Barberton, Snyder Avenue, Hoppakin Avenue, and Norton Avenue are being combined and will be constructed at the same time. So that was amendment number 20. And if there's any questions, I'd be glad to tackle those.
Dave, do you want to maybe stop sharing your screen just so we can see everybody a little bit?
Okay.
Do we have any specific questions? Obviously, as Dave said, having $4 million freed up in a fiscal year has allowed us to pull in quite a few projects, which I think is really a good thing.
I'd also like to add that those projects were all part of our new program incentive development program, PDIP. And the purpose of PDIP was for this very reason. If a sponsor could develop a contract or develop a project in 2 years, have it ready to go and sitting on the shelf, then as money becomes available, we would move it up. And the method we use to move it up is the worst pavement conditions are usually given priority. So the worst is usually done first.
That actually answered my question. So
Yeah, most of those projects had very low pavement condition index ratings. So we chose the worst ones. We asked the sponsors that had the worst payments if they were willing to move up, and everyone was pretty excited to move up. So it worked out good.
Yeah. If there are any other questions, we can always go back to it, but that, I guess, takes us through the plan part of the agenda. We do have, a period for open discussion where we'd be happy to discuss any other issues or concerns members of the public have.
You're opening up the can of worms there, Mr. Baker.
Go ahead, Mr. Seavey.
How long do I have to talk?
Well, I mean, I guess all as right. Long as you need.
All right, I'm gonna try. I don't have my notes are all on my computer, so I'm on my computer, so I'm gonna go off memory, but I should have this down pretty well, Pat. So as Well, for those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Bill Seepy with the Trail Advocates of Summit County Task Force. And for the last 3 years, we've been advocating for the Veterans Trail from Akron to Hudson. And we actually have two TASA grants that have been approved up in Stowe and Stowe to Hudson for $1.4 million total. What we've been focusing on this year is we've been waiting for the Metro RTA folks to negotiate leases with Hudson and Stowe. But also we knew that what we've been told is that all of that right of way was purchased with federal funds from the Federal Transit Authority or administration, FTA, and that they needed, because it was done with money to put passenger trains on it, they needed to go back to FTA and get their blessing. And we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and we've been pushing. And at the August 17th Metro RTA Planning, Marketing, and Rail meeting, Dawn Dissler made a 20-minute statement about where they stand with it. And quite frankly, Task Force is very concerned, and AMATS should be concerned as well from what we heard. What she basically said is, I think they've been walking on eggshells with FTA because there's some other projects that they're trying to get federal funding on, and they didn't want to upset the apple cart with FTA and pooch that. So, but they approached them and said, hey, we have a secondary use for this right-of-way, the old Akron secondary line, and this is what we want to do. And Dawn made a comment that doesn't make sense to any of us. She claimed, and she had a young man in the audience that threw out the name Rails to Trails, and she said that there's an act or law under FTA called Rails to Trails. And I said, no, that's Rails to Trails is an advocacy group in Washington, D.C. It has nothing to do with FTA. But she claims that they're telling her that this law is defunct. It's no longer in use. Therefore, we don't think this is what you should be using this right away for. And not only that, but we don't think that the Freedom Trail should any longer be used as a recreational trail. We should be taking that back. And we're like, whoa, wait a minute. How are you going to do that? How are you going to tell a lot of people that a trail that's getting used daily by a lot of people for jogging, walking, bicycling, moms pushing strollers, just goes away? Now, she did make the comment that when Summit Metro Parks signed all those papers with them, they knew that this could possibly happen. And I do believe that is in the lease, because I did see a preliminary lease document that was going back and forth between Metro and the city of Hudson, where that could happen. That someday, if rail was needed to be reenacted, the trail gets yanked up and you put tracks back down. Hmm. So then some comments were made relative to there are, and I got this from Valerie Shea in July at the planning meeting. There are apparently seven ways that somebody like Metro can dispose of property, idle property that was purchased with FTA assets. And there are seven of them. Not all of them fit in the bucket, but there is one of the seven that specifically says you move it to a government entity. So a city, a township, a county. She said that she's had conversations with Summit Metro Parks, and she says she knows Lisa King doesn't have the money to, because let me back up a second. The statement was made that it's not like Metro RTA can say to the FTA, said, well, screw it. We don't want this. Here, you take the right of way back. They don't want the land. They want their money. And so how do you define what that property is worth? Is it the money that they borrowed from the FTA with interest, or is it, what is the property worth today? And that's a question that we need to probe. So then she said she had conversations with Lisa King at Summit Metro Parks. They've had a lot of discussions with Tom Sheridan, who's the acting city manager up in Hudson. And they've talked to Eileen Shapiro, and Eileen Shapiro, the Summit County executive, is indicating that there might be an interest in the county in being the government entity that takes over this land. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. A year ago, Eileen was talking about not putting a trail up on the northern section to preserve it for rail. So where is all of this going? We asked for a meeting with Dawn to get clarification on the 20-minute dissertation she gave, because I wrote it all down. I took notes. Initially, we had a September 26th meeting with her, but that's been scrubbed now and pushed back into late October. In the meanwhile, we met yesterday. Ron and I met with City of Hudson officials. They were in the dark. They had no idea what was going on. They just assumed that negotiations were going on. I've reached out to McCleary at City of Stowe twice. He doesn't seem to be interested in hearing what I have to say. So finally, yesterday, I blasted him an email saying, hey, here's the highlights from this thing, dude. You need to pay attention to what she's saying. And he had said to me at a city council meeting a couple of months ago, he said, they're one of the toughest agencies to, you know, get any information from. He says, you call them, you leave them messages, they don't call you back. So we're a little bit perplexed and concerned because, you know, Curtis, that money that we got on those grants for those two segments, there's a timeline there. And if this thing keeps dragging on and on, what happens? What happens with that money? Now, one of the things, and don't shoot me, I'm just the messenger here, Curtis. Somebody asked the question, well, could that money be used to acquire the land, pay back the FTA? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that cannot happen because it's federal to federal. So you typically can't pay off a federal debt with other federal money. That probably would not be an option. I am aware of some of the issues that have been being brought up by FTA. I have very, very little concern about the existing Freedom Trail being, you know, ripped up. I think the likelihood of that is very, very low. But, you know, I think from what you've heard, and I think, you know, obviously in these subcommittees, Dawn's relaying what she believes. I do get the sense that, you know, FTA has been challenging on this in terms of what the right solution is. I am not yet to the point personally where I'm panicked or concerned about the project going through, but, you know, like I think we talked about this, you know, 3 years ago, if it was easy, it would have been done.
This would already be done.
Yeah.
This would be done, right?
Right. And so we have to get to this point with FTA, because if we don't, it'll never happen anyway. But yeah, we are, you know, I've had some preliminary discussions with Val just about what's going on. And, you know, I still feel positive about it, but there's no question that it is not something that is, you know, because none of us knows how FTA is going to, like, how they're going to come back. And if they do say they want to sell it, what is that price going to be? And, you know, I mean, at one point we were talking about it would be free, or, you know, basically they could kind of, you know, okay, just lease it out or get rid of it. And, you know, maybe you don't have to do the federal payback. You know, I definitely hear your concerns. And when I first heard it, I had, you know, similar concerns, especially about the upcoming projects that we have funded. But at this point, I feel like we do kind of have to let the process continue to play out, because no one's going to pressure FTA to do anything other than what FTA wants to do. And so I think that's where we have to just kind of wait and let this sort of play out. And then if we get to a point where it is looking bad, you know, then we're going to have a challenge. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where this has always been the biggest part or the biggest challenge of this project is the FTA element. And we're sort of in the middle of that right now.
What made it more difficult at the August 17th meeting was Val was on vacation that week. So Dawn kept throwing in the caveat to her statements. She's like, well, Val's not here. I'm just paraphrasing what she's telling me, because I think Val has been the one that's been doing all of the heavy lifting with FTA. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, Ron and I, you know, we're not bashful. We're not shy. We tend to kind of push things along.
You're going to tell me so that we, you're calling FTA?
No. We did not do that. But we did call our good friend Eric Oberg at Rails to Trails downstate. And they did some digging. And here's what they found. And so we're even questioning, there's a disconnect here, Curtis, and maybe you can help stop that disconnect. What Eric found was that railroad, they were able to go in and look at all the railroads in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. They can look at what's active, what's inactive, and what's been rail banked. That and the Freedom Trail, and there's one other that he told us, and I don't remember where it is, have been rail banked. Supposedly that line has been rail banked. And it is in, we actually have a docket number from the Surface Transportation Board. Unfortunately, it dates back to 1995. Now, you can go into the Surface Transportation Board's website, and if you have a docket number, you can search it if it's 2000 or sooner or earlier, okay, or later.
Right.
So I have made a formal request, and I've actually gotten one of their attorneys has reached out to me and said that they're going to try to dig it up via microfiche and send us the documents. But so we're looking to see what this is all about.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you know, unfortunately for like me personally, I wasn't around when Metro bought. I mean, I was around, but I wasn't in the arena when Metro bought that rail. Jeff, I believe you were.
It was right before I started.
So was that
back in 1991? Metro started to acquire these rail lines. The Sandyville was acquired later. I forget what year that was. That might have been in 95.
Okay.
I've heard that Sandyville before. What is that Sandyville, Jeff?
That's the southern portion of the rail properties that Metro owns that runs from.
The one that goes to Canton?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So they own rail property outside of Summit County, all the way down to Canton. And when they purchased that from CSX, actually a portion of that might have been 1998. That might have been the very last portion of rail that they purchased. Part of the problem is that they were so intent on acquiring these rail lines, they may have slightly overpaid for them. So to return that money back to FTA, if they were to resell it, they might not get what they paid for it.
Well, here's the question we want to know is if it has been rail banked already, does Metro RTA actually have jurisdiction at all?
Right. So if it's, you know, real estate's obviously permanent, it's not like a bus that's amortized over 12 or 14 years or something. They would have to return all that money to the FTA that they would actually hold the title for it, like a vehicle before it gets, before it winds down its useful life. So
what we found is that it apparently was sold or given to the Port Authority, which the Port Authority changed its name in the early 2000s, I think.
But they had.
And that organization, that what's that?
FTA did not allow that. After so many years and review, FTA didn't want that to be, so they turned that back over to Metro.
Is that a fact, Jeff? How do you know that? I'm not questioning you. I'm just saying, how do we know that?
I'm thinking that was at least 10 years ago that they had that issue where the FTA in Chicago, when they were doing one of Metro's triennial reviews. Their oversight's on a rolling three-year thing. Right. New people came in and they thought, well, you know, you can't have this. We paid for this. They're not an RTA. We can't have a Port Authority holding the title to this real estate, this real estate. So they had them turn it back over to Metro. But if Metro holds the title to something, they don't ultimately really hold the title to it because it's federal money. And it doesn't have an end life. like a buck.
And then, and I have not been able to find this out, but I actually had someone at ODOT tell me that their interpretation of the new bipartisan infrastructure bill is that it eliminates all paybacks. You know, that there is no, that there is no penalty for moving forward. But he was looking at it from, we had a roadway project that, you know, they spent money on the right of way. Actually, it was the same project that we were discussing, the Cyberling Way. They spent $1 million on the right of way, and then they canceled the project. And in the past, you know, you needed a justification to cancel it. Otherwise, the feds would say, give us back that money you used to demo a building. But according to this person at ODOT, they said the new bill says, no, you don't have to do the payback anymore. But what's unclear for me is that solely for certain federal funding programs, or is that for like federal highway and FTA? Because it could be something that could just be for one of our funding programs. But I've yet to see that language anywhere or see that confirmed. It was just something I heard through sort of the grapevine of people like, hey, did you hear you don't have to do a federal payback anymore? And we were like, well, you know, but I have not been able to source it. So
don't have to pay back their loans anymore. So who knows?
Well, I mean, it's just, it's, it would be weird to me, in all honesty, to think that FTA would collect $16 to $20 million from Metro RTA for it. It just doesn't seem like that's really the way that government should work. And, you know, but I also think, you know, it makes sense to me that FTA is saying, well, wait a second, you bought these 30 years ago with this intent, and now it's clear that you're trying to divest yourself from it. You know, so that means you need to divest yourself from it in some way, shape, or form, you know. But like I said, I can't believe without the demand for rail that something that already exists would be torn up, you know, like the Freedom Trail that already exists. And then, but at the same time, I'm not surprised either that FTA is sort of, you know, not as comfortable. I mean, it's a different world. As Jeff said, so much of the time with working with the federal agencies, it really can just depend on who the regional person is that you're working with. You know, so the person that happily said, yeah, Metro can do the Freedom Trail lease back in 2008 or whatever it was, if that person's gone in 2014 and 28, you know, all of a sudden you get a different answer. And so I think Metro's kind of dealing with that right now, trying to figure out what the right answer is. But I will say, Bill, like, we are aware of it. I think, you know, we haven't dug as deep as you have, but I do think there's, you know, there, it is something that we're going to have to keep watch of, because, you know, if let's just say you go play devil's advocate and say, okay, well, they say that Metro's got to relinquish and they've got to sell the property, you know, then it becomes, you know, would a community like Hudson be interested in buying that right of way? Probably, you know, they've got the money to do it. But when you start working your way down into Cuyahoga Falls and Akron, and you're talking about true market, if it is true market value, or can they just transfer the, you know, transfer it to another entity that's a governmental agency without penalty, you know, and that's where I think they're trying to, that's what you have to figure out, is if they do come down and say, you know what, Metro, you can't have these anymore, but you can do A, B, or C. And I think if that's the case, we have to figure out what A, B, and C are.
Right.
Jeff, just go round out a little bit, is that part of this rail acquisition by Metro? Metro may have had one intent, and that was commuter rail. And I think the federal government's intent was just to maintain the right of way, because those abandoned rail lines at some point would have went back to the property owner. Right. So for all, those were like just little chunks of property that were taken from, you know, the farms and the residential homeowners to put together those rail lines at some point, probably, I'm sure, back before there was any very much residential development around there. But since those were all plotted out into homes, they would have, those little bits and pieces then would have went back to the homes, and they didn't want that to happen for economic development purposes in the future. Maybe there would be some new, you know, industries that would need that, and then it would be gone forever because they'd never be able to put that back together again. So I think that was the main intent coming from the federal government, was just maintain, even if there was nothing on it, just keep that in perpetuity. Having a trail there would be a perfect use for it, to keep it. Metro wanted commuter rail. They're not going to get it. They weren't going to get it. They were really pushing hard for it in the late 90s and the early 2000s. But the federal government, that really, I didn't get the feeling that they were really hugely in favor of that. They just didn't want that abandoned rail to get split back up into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Jeff, because yeah, you're right. Like the right of way eventually, if no one claimed it or wanted it or bought it, would eventually go to the property owners that the parcels, it would be reparceled. And once that happens, you never get that back. You know, in this day and age, you'd never get it back.
Yeah. That's why there would have always been a holdout somewhere, and then they would have never.
Right, and we always say that like you never want to give up right away, because once you do, you know, you're never getting it back. It's sort of like the, when we dealt with people that were really invested in the Everett Road, you know, once Summit County divests from Everett Road and it's taken by the National Park and it's taken by Summit Metro Parks, you're never going to be able to put a road back in there, most likely. And the property owners also that were over there.
But I'm answering the questions that were up in the chat here. I just saw.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to answer that for you, but I believe you said it was the rail committee, right?
Well, it's called Planning, Marketing, and Rail.
Planning, Marketing, and Rail, yeah.
Yeah, it's up there now so everybody can see it. You know, we also had I'm sorry, Heather?
I was looking on the site to see if I could find the meeting minutes, and I did not see them. You think the minutes are there?
Yeah, you know when the minutes will show up, Heather?
Oh.
Hold on, I'll tell you exactly when they're going to show up.
I thought you just said the day after or something.
No, you know, you would think that they would, but the minutes of the next meeting will appear around 9 o'clock next Wednesday morning, the 21st, the day of the next meeting.
So the August meeting minutes won't show up till the September. Okay.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And, I will tell you, we've had a couple of Zoom calls with a host of people from Ohio Edison who want to put a power transmission line, 138 kVA power line through there. And in the last session, we kind of made them aware of this conversation with Dawn. And right at the end, I looked at the real estate guy that was on the thing. I said, you guys got a few million dollars in your project budget that you can use to buy this property? And he said, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be, I think that transmission, like Austin brought that up at our last meeting. He was asking us if we were aware of that. And I told him that we were. And, you know, I had met with some folks at First Energy just to get the lay of the land. But it does sound like there could be some opportunities there if it's well received by the public and the communities. That could be.
He said they really didn't get... We met with them after their last public meeting, and there were no big objections.
Yeah.
So they were planning to move this to the Ohio Power Siting Board for their approval, and that process can take, you know, up to a year.
Yeah.
I actually went to that meeting, and I think the objections are for Plan B. If it's Plan A, then I even put in the notes, talk to AMATS if you can turn this into a trail, but Plan B goes through a lot of residential areas, and that's where most people were upset. But they had stations set up where everyone talked and you asked questions to the wrong station, and they're like, you need to move down the line. So it wasn't just a crowd of people talking. They actually had small groups where you could ask individual questions. And when I was there, it's the Plan B that a lot of people were upset about because of the amount of residential properties it would go through.
Exactly right, Danny.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Hey, I used up my 20 minutes.
Well, Bill, I thank you for being involved in that. And yeah, I we definitely were aware of it. And I share your concerns, but it's something that I kind of have to let it play out a little bit more, I think, before we hit the big red.
And Dawn did say, she says, we're just kind of sitting. I think they're just kind of sitting now waiting to hear back from FTA on what they're going to do.
Right.
It's just kind of a waiting process. The only, concerns we have is did when Valerie had her last discussions with Kelly Brookins, whether or not they shared the fact that, there's a citizens group that's, looking to do this trail, and there's a federal money that's on the line here that has a timeline to it. And, I don't know that she necessarily did say that. I'm always worried about, you're only telling one part of the story and not telling the whole side of the story that, we want to get heard. So,
yeah.
All right. I'll shut up.
All right. Well, if there are no other comments, or Danny, do you have anything else, or good? Okay. All right. Well, it's about 7:15. Really, thank you all for participating, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the night and enjoy this weekend. It looks like it's going to be beautiful. Go Browns, go Guardians, all that good stuff.